The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Let's live our life now for the promises that we have for a future with God in eternity, where there's no crying and no tears and no sadness and no hatred and no bitterness and no sin and no unforgiveness.
Joyce began teaching the Word of God nearly 40 years ago with a small Bible study in her home. In 1982, the media ministry began with a 15-minute radio program in the St. Louis area. Today, the Enjoying Everyday Life radio and television broadcasts can be seen and heard in over 80 languages across the globe. God has certainly opened some wonderful doors and continues to amaze us.
Not everybody who needs to hear the gospel goes to church, but everybody watches TV.
What she does is give people hope.
How are you? I need to see you on the TV.
You see me on the TV?
Yes.
His word will speak to you. His word will come alive in your life. You will be renewed.
Joyce is also a best-selling author, and it's all about applying what the Bible says to our daily lives. She is determined to not only tell people about the beauty of the gospel, but to also see them develop a deeper relationship with Christ. So she has written over 100 books, which have been translated into over 100 languages, and more than 60 million copies have been distributed around the world. The goal of it all is to get God's word in front of people and rooted in their lives. You know, all it takes is a good look around us to realize that there are a lot of very serious needs in the world today, in our own lives and across the globe. Most of us want very much to make a difference, but we don't always know where to begin. Well, our mission at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: to share Christ and love people. And it's all of us together that makes that work. One of the ways we share God's love is through our missions outreach arm called Hand of Hope. It is so beautiful to see what God allows all of us to be part of. Together, we extend that hand of hope by providing over 70,000 meals for hungry children every day, medical care to people with no access to even the most simple help, rescue and a safe place for victims of the horror of human trafficking, food, clothing, even haircuts, any way to support people in America's inner cities, we want to be there.
By being a partner, I get to participate in worldwide events.
Really, there's almost not words to express what our partners mean to us. They're literally the lifeline of sharing Christ and loving people.
Loving homes for orphans, visiting those in prison, these are things the Bible says we must do. And one of life's most basic necessities, yet many people suffer without, we provide clean, safe water. Then, when disaster strikes, together we are poised and ready to help.
I mean, that's why I get up every day, you know, is to use humanitarian efforts to eventually be able to present the gospel message to people so that they can one day be with us in heaven.
So when you think of Joyce Meyer Ministries, you see a woman with the gift of being able to communicate the truth of God's word in a way you connect with. But the heart of this ministry is Christ. So whether people hear the gospel preached on television in India, read about in a book in Brazil, download a podcast in the Middle East, or attend a conference in the U.S., the good news is the good news. It cuts through our cultural differences, transforms our hearts, and unites us with the love of Christ. And it's those stories of lives transformed that encourage and inspire us all.
Father, we thank you for the word this morning, and we just appreciate you and all that you do for us in our lives. And help us to learn this morning how to stand strong and fight the good fight of faith. Amen. All right, Mike, if you could come on out. Mike. Okay, brother, just be a baby. Okay, now, in case you weren't here last night, I'm just giving an example here that When babies are first born, this is kind of what they do. They just curl up and lay around. Well, eventually, as they grow, they learn to sit up. Okay. Then from sitting, and you know, even then, sometimes they'll fall over. It's kind of, you know, you put pillows all around. God does that for us. You know, he puts pillows all around us in our life. So when we fall, we don't get hurt. Then eventually you get strong enough in that position, and then you learn how to stand. And then from there, you learn how to walk. A little better. Have a little improvement here. Like, take a nice walk. Okay. Now, run. Isn't he nice to help me? All right. Now, just for the sake of understanding where I'm going today, Mike, I'd like you to fall down. Isn't it wonderful to have this kind of power? That's great. Fall down, get up, sit up. We've known Mike and his wife for 30 years. They're great. Mike's our staff pastor at Joyce Meyer Ministries. We've got so many employees, we've got to have a pastor to keep them all going in the right direction. And so, you know, as baby Christians, we are to develop into mature sons and daughters of God. That's really, I'm real big on Christian growth. People ask me all the time, what do you think the church needs? I think we just need to grow up. We need to grow up and do what we're supposed to be doing and stop murmuring and complaining about everything and thinking everything needs to be padded so nothing hurts us and bothers us. And we need to realize who's alive in us and what we're equipped to do and get out there and do it. But God wants us to do everything that he wants us to do from a position of being seated in him or having entered his rest. And so I'm just making the analogy that we're babies, we learn how to sit. We learn how to sit. That means enter the rest of God. That's our first position in God. We learn how to be seated, how to do everything else from God's rest. How many of you are with me on that? Everything else has to be done from God's rest. Then we finally learn how to stand. Today we're going to talk about standing. Then we finally learn how to walk. Tonight we're going to talk about walking and running and so on and so forth. But here's what I think. Thanks, Mike. Here's what I think. I think a lot of people get saved and right away they try to run. They want to have a big ministry. They want to do some big thing. Want to be on the platform. Want to get the greatest promotion at work. And so they learn a little bit about faith, and now they're using all their faith to get all these big things, but they're not equipped. They're not rooted and grounded in Christ. They don't know how, they haven't entered the rest of God yet. So here's what we see. We see a lot of instability because a Christian like that who has maybe a little fruit but no roots, they're okay till a storm comes. And then every time a storm comes, they're falling by the wayside, wanting to quit and give up. So we need to learn how to stand and how to stand strong. And listen to what I'm going to say. How to be the same in hard times as we are in good times. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to feel the same in hard times as we do in good times. But it does mean that we don't have to take our hard times out on somebody else. I think I might just ought to say that again. It does mean that we don't take our difficulties out on somebody else. We don't. We still keep our commitments. I'm here today, aren't I? All right. We still keep our commitments. We keep giving. We continue in the word. We continue in worship. I teach a message, and I've actually thought about writing a book called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. Because so often we're just like at the end of our rope. We're like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And you know, the devil sends out a little demon to sit on our shoulders screaming in your ear, what are you going to do? 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 And our friends say, so, hey, I heard about your problem. What are you going to do? I get so tired of people asking me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, there are some things that we cannot do that only God can do. But here's what I try to teach people. Here's what to do when you don't know what to do. When you don't know what to do, keep doing what you do know to do. Amen? And I can give you a scripture for that a little bit later. Now, so today we're going to talk about standing. And the Bible has so many great scriptures about standing strong in God. That's going to be the first part of the message. And then standing against the enemy. My goodness, we need to know who we are in Christ. And we need to know how to resist the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. He has power, but he does not have more power than you do as a believer in Jesus Christ. We do not have to be afraid of trouble. I'm just going to preach to them, the rest of you not. I said, we do not have to be afraid of trouble. Nobody wants trouble. None of us are going around looking for it, asking for it. But you know what? The Bible says, Jesus said, in the world there will be tribulation. Cheer up. That's the first thing to do when trouble comes. Cheer up. Because really what the devil's after, he don't want your stuff. He wants your joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. If he can get us sad, depressed, discouraged, negative, critical, complaining, being jealous of everybody else, then he's won. But I think the real trick for us is say, throw your best shot and I'm gonna stand strong in God. I'd much rather preach today without my throat being sore. I mean, naturally, I would much rather do that. But I'm gonna do it either way. And that's the attitude that we need to have in life. I'd rather do everything that I do with all these nice gooey feelings, but I'm going to do, through the grace of God, I want you to get this in your spirit today. Through the grace of God, I am going to do what God wants me to do. Whether it's hard or whether it's easy, I am going to do what God wants me to do. And I don't know what's going on in all your lives, but I'm quite sure that large majority of you here have something going on that could get you discouraged if you let it. And good for you that you came out this morning, and many of you last night, you'll be here again tonight and possibly in the morning, to be encouraged, to be built up, and to have your faith strengthened so you can stand strong. 1 Timothy 6:12, standing strong in God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confessed the good confession of faith before many witnesses. Now let's just leave that up for just a minute. Fight the good fight of faith. But fighting the fight of faith is a different kind of fight than any other fight that you have. It's not a fight that frustrates you. It's actually fighting from a position of rest and peace. It's a knowing that you're fighting a battle that you've already won because Jesus already said it is finished. Yes, yes. And all we're doing is literally now walking it out day by day in our lives. Now, see the statement, lay hold of the eternal life to which you were summoned? Okay, you can take the scripture down now. I've decided recently that I don't think we say enough about eternal life. I don't think I have. I don't think that we say enough about heaven. And I've got some things that will end up in my message probably tomorrow morning, possibly tonight, but I doubt I'll get that far. About looking forward to going to heaven. And you know, I'm not suggesting that we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, but neither should we be so earthly minded that we're not living today for what God has promised us in eternity. Eternity is forever. And let me tell you something. The decisions that we make today to go on or to give up, to walk in love or to stay bitter and resentful, to live a life full of anger and unforgiveness or to be merciful and forgiving, we make decisions all day long, every day. And we need to make more decisions in light of eternity. We need to realize that this is not all there is. This is very much like a little hiccup compared to what there is. I don't care if you live to be 100 years old. That's nothing compared to forever and ever and ever and ever and time without end. I got to get off that because I'll mess my message up for tonight if I don't. But one of the reasons why he's saying to fight the good fight of faith is with a view of eternity in mind, to make sure that we don't quit and give up now and lose the very best that God has for us. Let's live our life now for the promises that we have for a future with God in eternity, where there's no crying and no tears and no sadness and no hatred and no bitterness and no sin and no unforgiveness. Whatever it is you're going through right now, can I tell you that when Jesus splits the sky and comes back, you are going to be very glad that you hung on. Amen. It's going to be like, wow, I'm so glad I didn't give up. Make a decision today, and I'm just feeding your faith. You know, you're probably already pretty much on track, or you wouldn't have bothered to take time off from work and be here with me this morning. But you're here today to have your faith fed, that whatever you're going through or whatever you may go through. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be frightening or negative, but not every storm is in the forecast. And we need to live ready, not wait until we get a problem and then try to get ready. We need to stay strong. Every day, I pray the scriptures in Ephesians 3 for a lot of the people that I love and for myself. Strengthen us in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit himself indwelling our innermost being and personality. God, we strengthen us that we can walk in the world and represent you the way that you want us to represent you. Look at me and let me tell you something. You're not here just for you. I'm not here just for me. You know, I think sometimes about how long I've been doing this, and you know, you come to a conference like this, and maybe this is the first one you've ever been to, and I mean, we've got one lady that this is her fifth conference, and she lives in Ecuador. She flies over here for conferences. That's a hungry woman, amen? Amen? But this is not my first rodeo. I've been doing this almost 40 years. And you know, that's a long time to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. But I'm not alive for myself. I'm not on the planet just to entertain myself. I'm here to bear fruit for God, and so are you. And in the midst of that, I enjoy my life. You can enjoy your life. But let me tell you something. Here's another big secret. You are never going to enjoy your life if you're not living to fulfill God's purpose for your life. If you're just living to entertain yourself, you're going to be the most miserable person on the planet. But if you live for God and you live to love other people and to make other people happy and to help other people, you'll get so happy you won't hardly be able to stand yourself. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life that God has offered to you. How many of you agree that we need to live a little bit more with eternity in mind and not just be this instantaneous, you know, right now? 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Man, you know, that must have felt good to the Apostle Paul. All the things he'd been through, the imprisonments, the beatings, the persecution, you know, all just to do what he felt like God wanted him to do. He laid down position and honor. I mean, he was like a Pharisee and well-educated and well-thought of and had a lot of authority and privilege and power, and he laid that all down. He said, it's all rubbish compared to the priceless privilege of knowing him as my Lord and Savior. And then you make a decision like that, and then it seems like your circumstances turn out bad. Then he ended up, for his great decision and great sacrifice, in jail, being beaten, being persecuted. But he made it to the end. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I want to finish my race. I want to do what God has asked me to do, and I want to be standing strong when Christ returns. And you know what? We got to wake up and smell the roses. We're living in some tough times. You know, we all say, well, we believe we're living in the last days, and we do, and, you know, so did the generation before us and the generation before them, but I always feel like this. If they thought they were living in the last days, then we're living in the laster of the last days. And I don't know if it's the last that will be here, but it's laster than it used to be, I know that. And I know just from how things have changed since I was a teenager, oh my gosh, the morality is just like in the sewer. I mean, it's just, it is bad out there, and we need to be strong. This is a time for believers to be strong. We cannot just drift downstream and go along with whatever's going on. This is our time to stand firm. Amen. And we have to be careful because, you know, when everybody else you know is doing something, well, everybody does it and their life seems to be okay. Yeah, well, let me tell you something. The day is going to come when we're all going to stand before God and give an account of our life. And I want to be able to say, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished my race. Amen. I'm here, Lord. And I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's live for that. Let's live to hear him say that. And you know, those of you watching by television, if I could just take just a few moments and just talk personally to you, you know. I mean, you know, most of these people that are in this building today, they're probably pretty already hooked into God. They wouldn't have taken their time to come here, but they're hungry for the word. And you know, we've probably got some real strong believers in Christ watching today, but then there's a lot of people, you don't know what you believe. You don't believe anything. You haven't made your mind up what you believe, or you say you believe in God, but you don't live like you believe in God. And I want to just implore you and beg you to understand that forever is a long, long time. The amount of time that we spend on this earth is minor. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere else. Please make sure it's the right place. Please make sure it's the right place. Amen? God stands ready to forgive your sins. Jesus died for you. He took all your sin upon him when he died in your place. And I know maybe your brain can't understand that, but let your heart rise up right now and say, could it possibly be true? Could my sins be forgiven? Could I have a relationship with God? Could I have the confidence that when my life here is done, that I'll spend eternity in the presence of God? Is it possible that God would care enough about me to forgive me and to help me live my life and bear good fruit for him? Yes, it is very, very possible. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, I want you. Come in and live in me. And then that's a beginning. That's a beginning for you. There's a phone number on your screen right now. If you want somebody to pray with you to receive Christ as your Savior, you call that number. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what it means to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time to be strong. One of the ways you can be strong is by not thinking about your problems all the time. And not talking about your problems all the time. Think about it, talk about it, think about it, talk about it, think about it, think about it, think about it, talk about it, think about it, talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, think about it, think about it, talk about it, talk about it. I mean, really, does it ever do any good? Never does any good. Now, obviously, we need to do what we need to do. Let's look at Ephesians 6, 12, and 13. And it's certainly not wrong to share what you're going through with somebody and ask them to pray for you or to get a little encouragement from them. But to be honest, when you have issues in your life and you've done all that you can do, the best thing you can do is just get your mind off of it by doing something else and let God do what only God can do. Here comes a good one for you, rolling up out of my spirit. It's okay for you to enjoy life while you have a problem. Come on, I'm giving you permission to enjoy your life. While you have a child that's still acting crazy, you can pray for him and still enjoy your life. While your marriage is not maybe all that you would like it to be, you can pray. You can do what God asked you to do. You can cast the rest of it on him, and you can still enjoy your life. Amen. See, we make our minds up, well, I just cannot enjoy my life till I don't have this problem anymore. Well, newsflash. If you don't learn how to enjoy life while you have problems, you're likely to never get to enjoy life very much. And I don't mean that life is just nothing but problems, problems, problems. But honestly, you don't know what storms are in the forecast. We read the weather report last Monday for what it was going to be here. And what's happening today was not in the forecast. Amen? It was supposed to be in the 80s and woke up this morning without 50-something. I don't know, you know? So we need to stay strong and be strong. So, yes, I want every day to be great. I wasn't looking to come to Colorado to preach and have a sore throat. I mean, that's not what I wanted. And last night when I got done, I thought, uh-oh. Well, maybe it's just because it's dry here. Then this morning when I got up, I thought, uh-oh. But you know what? I pray. I do what I can do. I got some cough drops. I took some vitamin C. I showed up, and the rest is up to God. Amen. And you know, if you're anything like me, then the devil pulls out the what if. Well, what if this problem never goes away? You ever hear that one? What if this never goes away? So, of course, for me, I'm thinking, what if? What if? I can't preach. What if? Well, you know what? Here's the bottom line. Even if that happens, I still can't do anything about it. So I'm still gonna, whether I preach or I don't preach, I'm gonna do it from rest. I'm gonna rest in God. I got somebody else with me that could, and we got a lot of great singers, and if that happened, I'll come up here and smile at you and wave at you and come and pinch your little cheeks and pull your ears and give you a little kiss or something, and we'll just worship God and have a good time, amen? Because look at me, here's one thing we're not going to do. We're not going to be defeated by the devil. Yes. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, the powers, the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. So here's the bottom line. We have an enemy. His name is Satan, Lucifer, the devil. He has lots of little helpers. The Bible calls them evil spirits and demons. And I know maybe somebody watching, you're just like, hey, well, what in the world? What is she teaching about this? Well, you know, it doesn't do any good to stick your head in the sand and pretend that things don't exist that do. We all know that there's a force of good in the world, which is God, and a force of evil. And we need to realize that in God, we can stand against the evil, we can resist it, and we can have great, wonderful, amazing, fruitful lives. But we can't fight an enemy that we pretend isn't there. I blamed all my problems on people for a long, long time before I found out that it was the devil that was behind it all. Amen. Yes, my father was the one that sexually abused me, but me hating him was never going to do anything to him or anything for me, and it wasn't going to help the kingdom. And when I found out it was really the devil working through him, then I got mad at the devil. Then I found out how to get the devil back. And the way to overcome the devil is to be as good to everybody as you possibly can. That is the true secret of being a child of God. You don't fight evil with evil. You don't return insult for insult and injury for injury. We forgive, we stay happy, we let God take care of things, and we pray that people will change. But if they don't, they're still in God's hands. If somebody hurt you 10 years ago, don't let them keep hurting you today. Did you hear me? If somebody hurt you 5 years ago, don't let them keep hurting you today. You release it to God today and you make a decision to enjoy your life. I didn't get a very good start in life, but I can tell you it doesn't make so much difference how you start. What is important is how you finish. And I've decided to fight the good fight of faith, finish my race, and I hope to take a bunch of folks with me. Verse 13, therefore put on God's complete armor that you might be able to resist and stand. Everybody say stand. Your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, you are to stand firmly in your place. God says that his truth will protect us, that knowing who we are in Christ will protect us. When you get a problem, don't say, well, God, don't you love me? That's the time to open your mouth and say, God, I know that you love me. Did you hear me? I said, when you get a problem, when a crisis comes, when something happens that makes no sense and you do not understand, don't say, well, God, don't you love me? That's when you say, nothing can separate me from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. I know that God loves me. I don't understand what's happening in my life, but I know that I know that I know that I know that God loves me and he is not the source of my problems. It's very easy to see what the enemy wants. He wants us to think, well, God doesn't love me, and, you know, he could have done something about this, and he didn't, so I don't understand. I guess my faith just isn't working. I don't know about all this stuff. I go to church, go home, give, nothing changes. I don't know. I think I'll just quit. Well, you silly thing, you. That's not what God wants you to do. It doesn't take any special anointing or talent to give up. Anybody can do that. You don't need to be a believer in Christ to quit and give up. But as believers in Christ, we can say, I am not going to quit and I am not going to give up because something good is going to happen to me. It's pretty easy to get into agreement with what I'm saying here. But see, I want to make sure that you can do this when you get home and there is no pretty music and cheerleader from the platform. When you're all by yourself and the devil's trying to beat your brains out and you've got your problem that you've had for so long, you feel like if you have it one more day, you cannot stand it. That's when you, and only you, are the only one that can make this decision for you. And when you make the decision to stand strong in God, it not only affects you, but it goes down your bloodline and affects all your children and grandchildren, and it affects all the other people around you. This is not something we can wait to feel like doing. We have to understand that basically it's an emergency. It's an emergency in our lives that we stand strong and don't quit and don't give up. There's too much at stake for us to be up and down and up and down and happy when things are good and down when things are bad and happy when they're good and down when they're bad. I lived like that for so long, it was disgusting. I got so tired of being what I called a yo-yo Christian. And here Dave, he's just like the, you know, the rock. And his one message our whole married life was cast your care on God, cast your care on God. It irritated me because I didn't know how to do it. Doesn't it make you mad when you're upset and you can't find anybody to be upset with you? Everybody just says, well, trust God, just cast your care. You're like, I prefer to have a fit today if you don't mind. So that's all right. Fall down if you must, but go back to sitting. Get back up and keep running your race with God. Amen. Having done all the crisis demands, stand firmly in your place. So there are things for us to do. If you lost your job, that's a crisis. Well, go look for one. That's something you can do. Pray for one. That's something you can do. Pull in every favor that anybody out there has ever owed you. Be radical. Do all the crisis demands. Then stand. And that word stand in the Greek means simply to abide in Christ or to enter the rest of God. I love that. To abide in Christ. Okay, it's like, I'm looking, God, you've got to give me favor. I showed up this morning, God, you got to make the voice work. I can do what I can do, but I can't do what only God can do. And this is what frustrates us to no end when we start trying to be Holy Ghost Junior. How many of you are in a relationship with somebody that just really desperately needs to change? You're not sure. You don't know what's coming next. One lady down here is with it. She's like, okay, now, can I tell you a secret? Are you ready? You can't change them. Won't work. I don't care how much you preach, how many underlined Joyce Meyer books you leave open on the table. I mean, you can make sure my television's program is on every time they're in the room. God might decide to use that, but the whole thing is if God doesn't decide to use it, nothing is going to work, because it's got to be God and not us. Well, I just can't stand it if you don't change. Yes, you can. And if you get to the point where you can't change it, where you can't stand it, then you'll know that from God. And you'll do something else. But let me tell you the truth. We can put up with a whole lot more than what we think we can put up. There's a word in the Bible for it. It's called long suffering. And I look at me. When you're suffering, the more you can laugh, not at your problem, but the happier you can be, the more joy you can have in the rest of your life, the easier it is for you to deal with the problem. That's why, hey man, let's have a good time here this weekend. Wow. Matter of fact, I'm going to stop right now and tell you a joke. I'm just going to be goofy and just tell you a joke. There were two old people laying in bed, like really old. And they were each on their own side of the bed. And the lady said to the man, she said, I remember when you used to hold my hand at night. So, little sigh, here comes this little crinkly hand across the bed. Takes her hand. Laid there for a minute. Like most women, wasn't satisfied with that, wanted more. So, she said, you know, I remember when you used to hold me in your arms at night. Oh, it took him a while, you know, finally wiggled over there and moaned and groaned, getting everything to work while he got her in his arms. And she laid there for a couple minutes, and then she said, you know, I remember when you used to nibble on my ear at night. He said, all of a sudden he jumped up, started going somewhere. She said, where are you going? He said, well, I got to get my teeth. Come on, it's good to laugh in the house of God. Okay, now I have no idea why I stopped in the middle of my message to tell you jokes, but I mean, you know, whatever works. See, my point is you still have your problem, but you had a good laugh. It kind of aired everything out. You feel took away a little bit of the stress, a little bit of the pressure. Stop thinking that you cannot enjoy your life until all of your problems are over with. A strong Christian who's standing in Christ and walking in God can enjoy their life because it's the will of God for them to enjoy it. And that doesn't mean you're living on vacation, but it means that you're living in the rest of God. You can enjoy life because you can look at this person that needs to change and say, you know what? I can't change you. God can. I believe he wants me to stay committed. So here's the thing. I hope he changes you, but even if he doesn't, I'm going to be happy anyway. You hear me talk quite a bit, if you watch the program, a lot about the early years of mine and Dave's marriage and just how messed up I was. And, you know, people that are hurting inside are unhappy. And when you're unhappy, you usually take it out on somebody else. And, you know, Dave tried for a while to keep me happy. And finally, one day, he just looked at me and he said, you know what, no matter what I do, you're still not happy. So I'm finished trying. I wasn't sure what that meant, but, you know, Dave was still very good to me and kind to me, and he'd love me when I would let him, but he went about enjoying his life. And, oh, that infuriated me. Honestly, because miserable people want to make other people miserable. That's their goal. They're miserable, and they want everybody around them to be miserable. And you're doing the total wrong thing if you play into that. What you need to do is give them an example, a quiet, loving example of what life can be like with Christ. And you know what finally really turned me around? Dave's consistency, his peace, and his joy became salt and light to me. And I thought, I want that. Now, if he would have just gotten unhappy with me, I would have never seen what I could have had. So if you're in a difficult relationship, has it ever occurred to you that you're there for ministry? I'll try this side. You're not getting that. I mean, seriously. If you're in a difficult relationship, if you're at a difficult job where you're the only believer, well, God, I'm the only believer. You got to get me out of here. Really? I thought you were the one that prayed for God to use you. I mean, do you realize what Dave, by God's grace, has done for the kingdom? I believe I was called from my mother's womb. My father started sexually abusing me when I was just a tiny little girl. My mother didn't do anything about it because she was afraid of him. My parents named me Pauline Joyce Meyer, which means little preacher with a joyful spirit. And from the get-go, the devil tried to destroy me. I married the first young man that came along because I thought nobody would ever want me, and he had more problems than me, if that was possible. Had one child from that relationship, named him David. Met Dave when he was 9 months old. Dave was a strong, spirit-filled believer, praying for a wife, dating three girls. He believed faith without works was dead. Met me. I was outside washing my mother's car. Had on shorts. He thought I was good looking. Said, hey, when you're finished washing that car, you want to wash mine? I said, if you want your car washed, wash it yourself. And he said the thing that went off in him was, that's the girl for me. Now listen, here's what Dave had been praying. He'd been praying, God, I'm ready to get married. He was 26. He wanted to get married. He said, I want to get married. I want a wife, and make it somebody that needs help.
Well, I encourage you to remember that you can stand strong in the hard times of life. You're going through a season, and you'll come out of this difficult season and go into a better one. You know, during the storms of life, we can't let our emotions defeat us. We need to keep our eyes on Christ and our faith strong in Him. When we're going through a storm, we can always remember other victories that we've had, and it will help us be firm at this current time. Today, we're offering a four-part series. And when I say a four-part series, it's 4 hours of teaching. And it's called Sit, Stand, Walk, and Run. It's about entering the rest of God, standing strong against the enemy, walking with God, and running your race. I think you're really going to like it. And we're offering this to you today for your gift of any amount to the ministry. You know, you can help us with the television expenses that we have. You can help us with all the outreaches that we have, prison ministry, nursing home ministry, ministry to kids that are hungry. We're trying to do everything that we can to help hurting people, and we need your help to do that. So this is the way that you can let us bless you with the word, and you can bless us, and together we're going to get the job done that God wants to do. So don't go away. I'm going to be right back with another message.
If you're looking to grow deeper in your walk with God, make this four-part CD series a must-have for your personal library. This four-part audio series, Sit, Stand, Walk, Run, is available for a donation of any amount. Call our toll-free number, 1-800-727-9673, or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
Well, you know, I think we all know that two are stronger than one, and so as we work together, you and our ministry, we can help lots of hurting people all over the world. And there's so many people in the world that are in such tremendous pain, and they need the truth of God's Word. So we're asking you today, if you're not a regular financial partner with our ministry, if you would become a monthly partner, if you would help us on a regular basis, do your best, give the best gift that you can every month, and know that your finances are being planted into good soil that is reaping a harvest for the kingdom. And you know, the Bible promises us that whatever we sow, we will reap, and that if we sow generously, we will reap generously. And so you can help us keep helping people, and in the process, whatever you make happen for somebody else, God is going to make happen for you. So if you're not a partner with us, you can call and get more information about exactly what that means. But really, we just need consistent giving in order to be able to keep bringing the consistent word that we bring on a regular basis. Thank you so much for your prayer in this area and for your obedience to God.
Dave, you have for a long time had a strong desire for God to open doors for us to be able to share Christ all over the world, but in particular here in Europe is someplace that he first put you in the military. And so it's been a real strong concern for you to be able to share Christ with everyone here. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the reasons is we're almost in every other country. And so, you know, I felt like there are areas over here in Europe where we're not on television. We're not on television in Italy. We're not on television in Spain. We're not on television in France. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, you know, we need to get on television in those places if we can. So we began to pray about it, you know, to see what God would do.
So internet's one of the areas here in France that we're really seeing God use.
Yeah. I believe that internet is the first step, and it's amazing what internet has done, what is happened as a result of internet in France. Huh. And so we're seeing that by the conference that we're doing right here in Paris and the overwhelming response we're having as a result of internet, far more than we would have ever imagined. And so God is doing tremendous things here.
Any idea, so many years ago, when you were stationed here in France, correct? Part of the time in the military and also in Germany?
Yes, I was stationed in La Rochelle, France, which is on the west coast of France, for a year and a half, and in Germany for a year.
That you'd be back here today for something like this?
No idea. Of course, that was even before the ministry, so before I met Joyce, so no idea.
So now for God to be able to open these doors to share him and seeing so many people's lives really being changed has to be a wonderful thrill for you.
It's amazing. It's amazing what God is doing. And, you know, each time he does something, we just stand kind of around with our mouths hanging open at what he's done. And so we're very thankful, very appreciative of what God has done. And we're excited because we know that this is just the tip of the iceberg of what he's going to do here. So.